Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Okay. Well, it's been 3 years since the last time I spoke here at Tigard Friends Church. There have been two really large events in my life since that time. One of them you shared with me, and that was the COVID pandemic. And the other one was the accidental death of my youngest son, Micah. And you've shared your support with me during that time. Through these two events, I've learned more and more about God's love for me and for us. Though the events are tragic and sorrowful, through nature, shared love and kindness, and being aware of God's love, my faith has grown through these last 3 years. In today's passage, I don't plan to talk very long. It'll be relatively a brief sermon because I really want to hear from you about what God's doing in your life. And I'll be just sharing a lot about what God has done in my life. In today's passage, Jesus asked the disciples to consider nature. You know, God seems to care for the transitory things of this world, birds and flowers. How much more does he care for you as a person? As we just sang in that hymn of How Great Thou Art, in nature we can see God's presence. We can experience God's care for us if we pay attention. The expanse of stars from the mountaintops, or the immense ocean from a beach, to the smallness of a wild strawberry, or a wildflower among rocks, all call us to God if we were open and listening. In nature, we can often find our first experiences of God. Mine was while hiking in the Northern Cascades, while a sophomore in high school. And through the first year after Micah's death, walks helped me to struggle back to faith and to health. More recent revelation of God's care to me has been God using others to comfort me. I've been surprised over and over again by the support given me in my grief over my son's death. I'm a rather suspicious and cautious person. I don't easily trust others. Reasons for that are many. I won't go into them. But for the last 2 years, I've been awakened to the goodness in others. Strangers who have seen my distress have offered me help. The death of my son and the isolation of COVID led Linda and I to seek help in a group therapy session for people who experienced traumatic loss. In the shared experience of others, I realized God had not abandoned me. In grocery stores, in lines at farmers market, at banks, I found that unexpected people would support me, give me words of encouragement, and try to help where they could. The discovery of people I thought acquaintances were truly friends, who would listen and comfort by listening. Sharing someone's grief is not easy, but I found people willing to share that burden that I was holding. Quakers, that's friends, talk about that of God in everyone. A phrase from a letter of George Fox while he was in prison. I found that to be true, that in people I never expected to find God speaking to me, they spoke to me. And this has encouraged my faith. Not only have I found solace in nature, but I've also found solace in the people of God who carry God's image. And finally, I've found that God himself has not abandoned me. I also did some individual counseling with the counselor, and I'm afraid I really was a trial to her. She wanted me to, be self-aware, to spend time in meditation, to become aware of the moment. I'm going to digress a little bit. Linda and I have been reading stories by a man named Stephen Quinn, and these are hard-boiled detective stories, and there's a dog who tells the story. They're just hilarious novels. If you just need a good read, read a Stephen Quinn novel about Chet and Bernie. Chet lives in the moment. I mean, he does. He's a dog. You know, a good stretch in the morning, life doesn't get any better. A bowl of water, life doesn't get any better. And he lived in the moment. And I think that's what the counselor wanted me to do, was live in the moment. And I kept finding myself finding God when I went to meditate. And that wasn't really where she wanted me to go. But by finding God in those times of meditations, instead of the mindfulness, I discovered that God was there rather than finding self-discovery. At the end of the verse today, Jesus calls his disciples by an adjective. Now, in English, we don't like adjectives just hanging out there. We usually have to have a noun to be described by that adjective. So the end of this verse ends with little faith, just hanging out there, little faith. And usually in English translations, then we'll say you of little faith or ones of little faith. And it sounds almost pejorative, like Jesus is being mean to his disciples. And if you look at the whole context of this passage, Jesus hasn't had any reason to criticize the disciples. He's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. People have been listening attentively. And he's not really trying to criticize them. As I look at it, I think since Jesus only uses this phrase to talk to other believers, he never uses it for unbelieving people, that he's using it as a nickname. Like the nickname Little John. You know who Little John is, right? Well, that's the same thing when Jesus is talking about little faith. He's talking about his disciples not in a mean way, but in a way to try to encourage them to increase their faith. And I say that because of the passage in Matthew 14:31. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. The disciples are headed across the river. Jesus has dismissed the crowd, or headed across the lake, excuse me. And Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. And Peter gets out of the boat to walk to Jesus and then starts to sink. And Jesus walks over and holds him up, and they get back in the boat. And Jesus, after he rescues Peter, says, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" Now, I don't know about you, but certainly, it's a demonstration of faith if you step out of a boat to walk on water. I don't think Jesus was trying to say, "Peter, you didn't believe hard enough." He was trying to say, "Peter, you believe more." So as we grow from little faith to more faith, we should find God's comfort inside of ourselves, being aware of a sense of God's nudges and feeling God's presence. Resting in the knowledge that God, who cares for the birds and the flowers, also cares for us. God is always there for us. We may not recognize it. There's an old poster that a high school student of mine years ago wrote an essay on, and it goes something like this. Its name is Footprints in the Sand. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene, when my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me. So I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troubling times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, "Precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." At the time, I thought this was rather a trite poem. But now I find, through the last couple of years, that this is quite accurate. That God has not abandoned me, that he's not left me, and that if I look inside, not mindfully, but aware, I will find him there to comfort. I want to close with one more poem, and then encourage you to share in open worship about your experience of God. When you've needed God's comfort, has he comforted you? If he needs comfort now, share that with us, that we might share it together. If you would, please read with me Psalm 23. It's page 392 in your Bibles. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.